This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
There's only one.
There's only one pod in the Motor City that's keeping you up to date on everything Detroit sports.
This is the Daily Ticket with your host, Jeff Rieger.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Jeff Rieger, another episode of the Daily Ticket. This one for a Thursday, the 18th of April, 2024. Big night today. 8 o'clock, the Lions unveil their new uniforms. I think tomorrow on the Daily Ticket, we'll give them to you. On YouTube, I'll show them to you. If you happen to listen to the Daily Ticket, we'll just talk about it. What are the odds that the Lions get this thing right? I actually believe in them, to tell you the truth. In fact, I have been the biggest proponent for the longest time to blow it all up because they've stunk so bad. I brought this up on the radio many times. And I thought new color scheme, new logo, new lettering, everything new. People got very upset. They didn't want any of that. But now that they went to the NFC title game, I probably take a step back from that opinion as well. Because now you want to keep at least the logo, but I wonder what changes. Does the logo change? Do they bring the black back? It's going to be interesting. And you know, uniforms are very polarizing. Like when the Lions came out and they brought the slim lion back, you know, the blue helmet and the slim old 1950s logo, I thought that was a really cool look. But for everybody like me that liked it, there was just a person that hated it as well. Hard to make everybody happy. Here in Detroit, we're lucky. We have the iconic Old English D. We have the iconic winged wheel. So hopefully the Lions can put together something good. I actually think you might disagree with this, but I always thought the Piston logo, like the old school logo, with just the basketball says Detroit Pistons, red, white, and blue. I always liked that logo, but a lot of people find that logo boring. So later on tonight, big day, I believe it's 8 o'clock. Lions unveil their new uniforms. It's a big day. And then of course, next week, it's the draft right here in beautiful Detroit. In fact, on Thursday night for Friday's podcast next week, I'm going to be at the draft. I'm going to be within the crowd. I'm going to be in the VIP area. I'm doing a show from, I believe it's Buffalo Wild Wings. So I'll bring you a lot of good stuff, hopefully, for Friday's podcast a week from next week. Anyway, let's get to it, shall we? I'm curious, how are you? Did yesterday morning feel like the Monday you woke up after the Lions lost in the NFC title game? It wasn't that intense, but I was bumming yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you. In fact, I went to the Tiger game. A lot of people seemed like they were bumming. Our radio station was buzzing with people wanting to talk about the Red Wings. And it's just a shame how it all ended. Like, they tied the Capitals. They freaking tied them. They should be in. Capitals are like a minus 37 goal differential. The Wings were like a plus 2. Capitals are the worst team to go to the postseason goal differential-wise since the 90s. Despicable. But they have something that the Wings don't have. Charlie Lindgren, their netminder, he was sensational down the stretch, and that's why they got in. And unfortunately, the Wings did not. And now we're left to wonder if Derek Lalonde gets fired, what Steve Yzerman's going to do in the offseason. He's going to talk eventually, and we'll bring you his comments when that actually happens. But I'm curious how you're doing, how you're feeling, because that was tough. It was. We all got wrapped up in the quest for the postseason. And unfortunately, Detroit fell short. However, the one thing I did notice is, man, we still love our hockey. Like, it's been dormant for a long time, and for obvious reasons, considering how bad the organization and franchise and team has been. However, we still love our hockey. Because I was at that game on Monday at Little Caesars Arena. That place was bumping. It was kick-ass. It was so much fun. So, there's next year. So now all we have left, other than the NFL draft, for the foreseeable future, is the Detroit Tigers. And the Tigers are off to a good start. They're 10-8. I know in the banner scroll below, I typed 10-7, but they're 10-8. Best start in almost a decade since 2015. Brad Ausmus was your skipper. They lost yesterday 5-4 to the Rangers. They have a chance to split the series later on today, depending on when you're watching or listening to this. First pitch right around 1 o'clock from downtown Detroit. I harped so much in the offseason about Scott Harris doing something offense-wise. And you probably got sick of it. I yelled about J.D. Martinez or Matt Chapman or Cody Bellinger, a litany of players. Talked about it, yelled about it. And I'm not going to do that, I swear. But I must say, I'm really worried about this team. And you might be saying, God, you're such a negative jerk because they're 10-8. They got a good record. They're competing in the AL Central. The Guardians have the best record in baseball. The Royals are second place in the division. And then there's the Tigers a couple games out, right? But here's the deal. They cannot sustain this winning. I don't think, and this is what I want to give to you. I want to present you with a stat that I find unbelievable. I want to ask you what you think it means. I'll tell you what I think it means. And does this mean they can't sustain this winning? Or does it mean they're just a really good defensive and pitching team and they're going to hit just enough to win? Let me give it to you. Also, a little later on in the podcast, I have some comments from Javier Baez. I talked to him on Sunday. And we talked about the Wings the last couple days. But I asked Javi about all the negativity after he hit his first and only homer of the season. So I'll play you that as well. But let's get into it, shall we? Because I got this stat. I looked it up. I'm very proud of myself. Tigers are 10-8, like I mentioned. The offense is disgusting, though. I mean, their offense is pathetic. You don't believe me? If you go to Baseball Reference and just look at their team, I'll go down the list very quickly. Carson Kelly, their primary catcher, has a 574 OPS. Like 740 is league average. That is woeful. He's hitting 206. Spencer Torkelson, he's been awful so far this year. 577 OPS, a 209 batting average. Like, we all thought Tork was just going to build on the 31 homers last season. He started dreadful. Coming into the game yesterday, 209, 577 OPS. I mean, that's anemic. That's awful. That's like right towards the bottom of all of Major League Baseball. And yeah, I understand maybe it takes a little bit of time for him to get going, but you don't have that much time. He was 1-1, people. Drafted first overall. He needs to perform. He needs to prove that he's a guy that you can count on when it matters and not just when you're 30 games under 500 and the big lights go off. Spencer Torkelson has been very underwhelming so far this season. Colt Keith, I give him a break. Hitting right around 200. His OPS is not even 500, but he's a rookie. And we've seen a rookie in town in Wyatt Langford. You could have had him. Instead, you drafted Max Clark. And it's not like he's hitting the cover off the ball for the Rangers. Okay? So I give Colt Keith the pass. Plus, he's got a very impressive glove at second base. Javier Baez has been a disgrace. Hitting right around 150. Had an RBI yesterday. About the softest RBI you'll ever see. His OPS is under 400. Like, it's awful. After having a bottom three OPS last year, Javi is following up that shitty season with another god-awful season. And yeah, he's playing great defense. But when you pay a guy $20 million and all anybody can say about you nice is you play great defense, that means you can't hit a lick. And he can't. And he's already had like 3 to 4 off days. AJ Hinch hits him 7th or 8th. Seems like they give him a day off like every 3 or 4 games. Like Javier Baez, unfortunately, has been awful. Then you get to a guy like Parker Meadows, who went yard yesterday, first time this season. Can you believe Parker Meadows has a homer, but Spencer Torkelson doesn't? Torque has played in 17 games. He's yet to go dong. He's yet to go dong. How is that even possible? But Parker Meadows, I mean, he came into yesterday's game hitting 0.56, an OPS of 320. The only people that are hitting on this team are Kerry Carpenter, and he doesn't usually play against lefties, so you don't get him for every game. Mark Canha, same type of deal. He plays all over the field, but he doesn't play every day. And Gio Urshela, he's hitting right around 300, but again, same deal. He doesn't play every day. And then Riley Green, I think, has been good. Riley Green, batting average isn't great. It's 213 coming into yesterday, but he's got damn near an 800 OPS. So I still have belief that Riley Green's going to work out. Here's what I'm trying to get at, people. The offense is a joke. It could be historically bad, but the Tigers have won 10 games. It's the weirdest thing. Their pitching is so good, which you hope lasts. It's so good that they hold the opposition at bay for a long part of the game until the Tigers can find a way to get on the board. And you've seen it over and over and over. They've won these crazy games now 3 times where they don't hit a lick all game long. And then all of a sudden in the 8th inning, they come back. Happened in Pittsburgh. Happened against the Twins on Sunday. Like, it's crazy how they're winning these games, which means to me it's not sustainable. And then I told you about a stat that I have. Let me give you this stat.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because the Tigers have scored 60 runs so far. They're 10-8. In 18 games, they've scored 60 runs. They're like a +1 run differential. Not great. But 43% of their offense, 26 runs, happens in the 8th inning or later. Meaning the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th inning, they don't do jack. A combined 34 runs in 18 games, in 7 innings each game. And then 26 in the 8th, the 9th, and extras. And extras, it's obvious because you actually get the ghost runner. So extra innings is where the Tigers love to be because they can get a man on base for free. They don't actually have to get a hit. You start with a guy on second base. That's right up the Tigers' alley. That's how bad their offense is. So you can call it clutch, but I'm going to call it unsustainable. I am really concerned about this baseball team because the one thing I do know is the pitching will not last forever. This pen has been used a ton already. And credit to AJ Hinch, by the way, because I think he's pushed all the right buttons so far. I think his pinch hitting decisions have been right on. I think his bullpen decisions have been right on. But what I'm trying to say is it will not continue all season long because you're going to throw these guys' arms out. Jason Foley, I feel, has pitched like every day already. So I don't think the pitching will be as good as it is right now. And you can say, well, won't the hitting get better? Once the weather warms up, everybody loves to say, maybe. But man, these guys have track records. And their track records are they're not very good. So what do you think that stat means? Is it a positive or negative stat? 43% of the Tigers' offense has come in the 8th inning or later. That scares the crap out of me. All right? Me. Because I just don't think it's sustainable how they're winning these baseball games. The other thing, too, and I'm not supposed to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up, and then you can yell at me. Feel free. You can yell at me through your screen or if you're listening to the audio form of the podcast. They've played nobody. Like, yeah, they're playing the defending world champs. At the recording of this podcast, they're losing the series. They played the Twins. They split with them. The Twins are missing 9 dudes on the IL. They played the Mets. The Mets have recently got hot, but they played the A's. Awful. They played the White Sox. Worst team in baseball. I am concerned about the Tigers. If they just had gone out and got one bat, I'd feel a lot better about things. And I know I was harping on Matt Chapman. He's playing for the Giants. He's not hitting great. He'd fit right in. He's hitting like 200. But guess what? He's already got 4 homers and 12 RBI. The Tiger with the most RBI has 8. Matt Chapman's got 12 already and 4 long balls. So I don't think that was a bad suggestion. And it's essentially a 1-year contract because odds are he's going to opt out after this year. So are you concerned about the Tigers? Or am I just full of hot air? Let me get to Baez very quickly. Then we'll get to some comments, and then we'll let you go. So Javi Baez has been awful, as you know. Just absolutely atrocious. I actually feel bad for him. Like, yeah, I know. I feel bad for a guy that makes 20 mil a season. But Javi hit a home run on Sunday against the Twinkies. They actually won that game. And for the first time all season long, he talked to the media. So I decided to ask Javi a couple questions about the negativity. Fans have been booing Javi Baez. Hometown fans have been booing Javi Baez. I'm curious what the shortstop thinks about it. How does it make him feel? Take a listen.
Does the negativity affect you? I mean, I know there's been times this year where you've been booed after striking out or recording it out by the fans. Does that sort of stuff affect you at all? Or?
Not really. I mean, I've been booed pretty much my whole career. And you know, I know it's frustrating for the fans, but I think that doesn't really help the team and the organization. I think if we grind together, we should stand up together. We should stay together when we're down. So it's not only here. You know, it's happening in other organizations with other players. So it doesn't affect me, to be honest. And I don't think it's really respectful when people talk trash and disrespect you behind a net, you know, that they can say anything. So doesn't affect me, to be honest, and I'm just worried about playing good, you know, and doing good for my team and my organization. So they can do whatever.
But you don't think it's respectful when people boo?
I mean, if fans boo, it's fine, but if they start saying other stuff and cussing at you, it's different, you know. You got family out there and you got kids out there, and that's not what they're here for.
All right, so I don't think Javi said anything awful there. He doesn't want to get booed. He wants everybody to kind of have a united front. He thinks that's more productive for the organization. Everybody's happy. Everybody's supporting Javi. Maybe Javi plays better. I can tell you he got booed yesterday. He got booed the day before. You don't hit, you get booed. You make a lot of money, you get booed. If you don't produce in this town, you get booed. It's that simple. As far as it being disrespectful to shout stuff from behind the net, if you boo, totally fine. If you're cursing at him, probably not the best look. If you're going over the line of heckling, not great. But if you want to yell at Javi, if you want to voice your displeasure, as long as you do it somewhat classy, I got no issue with it. Now, it does suck that his family comes to the game and they have to hear it, but fans are going to be fans, man. Fans pay a lot of money to go to these games. They pay for parking. They pay for concession. They're fans. They pay for souvenirs. They bring their families. They bring their friends. They want to see winning, dude. It's been a decade since the Tigers have been to the postseason. Meanwhile, Baez makes $20-25 million a season, okay? I'm not saying that Javi's feelings don't matter. What I am saying is your feelings matter too. If you want to boo, boo him. He gets it. I just wouldn't do anything rude, per se. Don't swear at the guy. Don't attack his family verbally. But if you want to voice your displeasure and you find a creative way to do it and you're not cursing, by the way, we're going to get to cursing because I did ask a question last podcast. I see no problem in it. It's how sports work. You play good, people cheer you. You play like shit, people boo you. And they say mean things. Sorry, it's how it goes. And that's what you sign up for. And by the way, I don't think Javi wants to suck. Unfortunately, he's just not very good right now. And it comes with the territory. You play like crap in this town, most towns, but this town, you get booed. People don't say nice things. It is what it is. So you could say it's disrespectful, Javier Baez. And listen, he didn't bring it up. I asked him the question. So it's a little on me too, I guess. So he could say it's disrespectful. But man, it's kind of disrespectful to make fans watch his at-bats. That's what's also disrespectful. But with the glove, he's been pretty good. All right. Let me know what you think. Wild stats, 60 runs scored by the Tigers so far in 18 games, 43% of the offense coming in the eighth inning or later. Is that worrisome? Is it sustainable or is it no big deal? They're not hitting. They're not scoring. It's a problem, at least in my book. So let me know what you think. Let's get to some comments very quickly and then get on with your day. Of course, the last podcast was about the Wings being knocked out of the postseason. I also asked if it offends you when I swear in the podcast, because there was a commenter that said I should not swear and they've unsubscribed to the station because I swear too much. So I asked you, does it offend you? Should I stop? Here's what people are saying. Okay. Let's see. At Ryan Guzek 361 says Ken Cale and Ken Daniels are the best. I would agree with you. Absolutely. At Nick Gassaway, when Jeff's on the air, he has to be a good boy and watch his mouth. But when it comes to the podcast, fuck it. Just be yourself. It's fun. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. At Jacob Baleva, 1454. Be yourself, my man. If that dude wants to cry about it, let him. Womp womp. Thank you. How about Steve Bell? Says, not offended by swearing, it's infinitely more offensive to me that we're tied for the second wildcard spot and got tiebreaker the fuck oops out of there in the most cheesy way possible after we battled like fucking oops wild animals to get back in there. Fuck, hot fuckity, hot shit, damn, does that sting. So obviously that guy has no problem with the swearing. Then how about one more? I got one more for you. At Gary Perea, 5895, they say swearing shows a lack of intelligence. I'm not sure of that, but it sounds crass. Controlling speak is a challenge that brings rewards. I think it means controlling speech, but it's more fun to swear. That's what I would say. Do I have one more? Let's see. How about this one? At Brand New, one. If a listener has their feelings hurt by a swear every now and then oh well. Unfortunately, some people like finding ways to be offended every single day. Having Jeff waste time highlighting someone's feeling about an F-bomb, the pod is not about you or your feelings. There you go. So most people are totally cool with a random fuck or a shit or a bullshit or an asshole. So there you go. I won't do it too much. I swear. My wife just said my daughter's listening to this podcast. Honey, don't repeat those words, please. My wife is now scolding me verbally. Do you want to come in here, Allison? Do you want to come show the people your face? No? Say hello. Okay, well. What are you going to do? All right, we'll catch you tomorrow on the Daily Ticket. I hope to do the podcast about the new Lions uniforms, unless something crazy happens with the Tigers or something else, but that's the plan as of now. Guys, enjoy your Thursday. We'll catch you tomorrow on a Friday. See ya.